Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. Joseph was a contractor by today's standards and most likely built homes. After the birth of Jesus, he rented a house in Bethlehem for Mary's purification. Then they traveled to Jerusalem to dedicate Jesus at the temple. God set up a divine appointment with Simeon and Anna, who each thanked the Lord for allowing them to see the Messiah. Life continued in Bethlehem for 2 years until the famous wise men arrived from the east with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These gifts were fit for a king, and they would be slowly depleted when Joseph took his family to Egypt because Herod wanted to kill the Son of God. God's redemption plan only worked because of the intervention of holy angels. The events on earth were choreographed in heaven to make sure every prophecy was fulfilled and Jesus was protected at the same time. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And I'm going to, today, my message, we're going to talk about Jesus is his early life on this earth as we go through the Gospel of Matthew. Would you in the chapel stand with me as we pray for the message? My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now, Lord, that you will open the Bible to us. And Father God, you will show us exactly what you want us to learn. Help us to apply it to our lives. And help us, Father God, to live in such a way that we will be shining lights in a dark world. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I would like for you to turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. It's the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. And these are events after the birth of Jesus. Now, Joseph was a carpenter, and according to Jewish custom and history, this profession would have been equal to a contractor today. Most likely, Joseph built homes, had a fairly decent income, and he would be in, otherwise he would not be able to pay taxes. So we read now from Luke chapter 2, and we pick it up here in the first 5 verses. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus, that's the Roman emperor, that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one in his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great red child. Now, as they traveled down, Mary was pregnant, and as you ladies know, when you are pregnant, anything can happen. Your hormones are going upwards, sideways, and so on, and there can be all kind of different situations going on. So here's Mary now, pregnant, Joseph, and her going down to Bethlehem. And when they got to Bethlehem, the place was loaded with people because everybody that came from that area had come back home to simply register and start paying their taxes. So there was no place where they could rent the place. So we read in verse number 7, actually start number 6, and so it was, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. So a lot of people said, you know, Joseph and Mary were poor. No, they simply didn't have room. They were late, couldn't get in. If we turn on to Matthew chapter 2, that's Matthew chapter 2, and we pick it up in verse number 11, we read this. And let me get to Matthew, and was in Malachi, didn't fit that all. Okay, so we go now to Matthew 2:11. And when they come into the house, these are the wise men, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they opened their treasures, they presented the gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. So after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, actually he was incarnated in that body, Joseph rented or purchased a house in Bethlehem. And this is where he moved in, and they stayed there. Now, Mary and Joseph wanted to fulfill the Old Testament regulations for a Jewish boy. So if you turn to Leviticus chapter 12, we can read about this. And this is what Jesus had told them to do. So we have Leviticus chapter 12. And we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 3. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a woman have conceived seed and born a man child, then she shall be unclean 7 days. According to the days of the separation for infirmity, shall she be unclean. And in the 8th day of the flesh of his foreskin shall he be circumcised. So the boy is circumcised the 8th day. And she shall continue in the blood of a purifying 33 days. She shall not touch no hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary, until the days of a purifying be fulfilled. So that means that they stayed in that house for a little bit over 40 days, or a month and a week, something like this. And then after the purification, so let's go back now to Luke chapter, this is Luke chapter 2:4. So now we go back to Luke chapter 2, verse number 22. And when the days of the purification according to the law of Moses was accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens a womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now this is set forth in Leviticus 12. So let's turn to Leviticus the 12th chapter, and we're going to pick it up in verse number 6 and 8. And when the days of a purification are fulfilled, for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring a lamb of her first year for a burnt offering, a young pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation unto the priest, who shall offer it before the Lord, and make an atonement for her, and she shall be cleansed from the issue of her blood. This is the law for her that is born a male or a female. Now, most of the time when we think about the birth of Jesus, first of all, we put him in December. He was actually born sometimes in October. And so we had the shepherds came on the night Jesus was born. He was in a stable then in the manger. But then there was the 33 days, the 8 days, And they went up to Jerusalem. Let me read from the text here that I have. This kind of traveling indicates that Joseph was not a poor man because it cost money to travel. Mary was getting over the pregnancy when she rode on a donkey 5.5 miles to Jerusalem. That's a distance from Bethlehem to Jerusalem. Joseph had to rent lodging in the city, pay the temple tax, exchange his money for temple scrip or temple money, purchase an animal to sacrifice. While all this could take place in one day, it was easy for Joseph, Mary, and Jesus to stay the night and then return home, maybe the next day, or they might have stayed for a couple of days. Notice now, this took place before the wise men had arrived. Let's go back now to Luke chapter 2 again. Luke chapter 2, and we're going to look down in verse number 25. Fulfilling prophecy. When Joseph and Mary brought Jesus to Jerusalem, no one knew the fact that this was a future Messiah. They came all by themselves. They were just part of the crowd. There's a lot of people coming all the time to the temple. And there was nothing spectacular. But God had set up a divine appointment for a man named Simeon and a woman named Anna. This was done to lay a track record for Jesus when he later started his ministry. And if you pick it up here now in verse number 25 in chapter 2 of Luke. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Notice now, the Holy Ghost was not in him, but upon him. Prior to the resurrection, the Holy Spirit did not indwell in the believers. They were upon them. It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And in this case here is, he would not die until he had seen the Messiah. And he came by Spirit into the temple. Notice now, divine appointment. The Holy Spirit said, Simeon, go to the temple today. I got something to show you. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, so now Simeon got a divine appointment. He came in. At that time, Joseph and Mary came in with a baby. And the Holy Spirit said to Simeon, this is the Messiah. Picking up, bless him. Then took him up in his arms, blessed God, and said, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all the people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which are spoken of them. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of men in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Then there was a second person, her name was Anna. And we read this, since she was a prophetess. And there was one Anna in the prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, about 84 years. We departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant, again a divine appointment. Here comes Anna walking in now. And she sees this with Simeon. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise to the Lord and spake of him to all that had looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city of Nazareth. Now, Luke omits the wise men, and he doesn't talk about that they went to Egypt. And we got to remember now that Matthew and Luke were two different people. They wrote down their Gospels according to the anointing of the Holy Spirit and what they thought was important. So, who was Luke? Luke was not an apostle. He could be one of the 70. And let's just look upon chapter 1 in Luke here. And we read this. Forasmuch as many have taken in hand to set forth in order declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they will deliver them unto us, with whom the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things, for the very first to write unto you, in order, most excellent Theophilus. Now, we do not know my tongue is twisting here. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. So let's turn right now to the book of Acts, chapter 1, where we have another reference. So we go to Acts, chapter 1, and we pick it up here in verses 1 and 2. The former treatises have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach, unto the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. So Luke wrote the gospel. He is the one that wrote down the book of Acts. And now, if we turn to Colossians chapter 4, we find out some more things about Luke. So that is Colossians. And we're going to go to chapter 4, and we're going to read verse number 14. And this is Paul saying, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. So we know he was a physician, and he also traveled with the apostle Paul. He was faithful because in 1 Timothy, chapter 4, that's 2 Timothy, chapter 4, and we pick it up in verse number 11, we read this. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with you, for he is preferable to me for the ministry. Everybody had left Paul except Luke. Luke was faithful. Let's go to page number 2 of your outline. Now we're going to talk about the gifts of the wise men. And we're going to go back now to Matthew. We're going to be working in Matthew now. So Matthew chapter 2. And Matthew, the second chapter. And I want to read here to you from the outline. Since Joseph originally was from Bethlehem, he returned to his birthplace after dedicating Jesus at the temple, and resumed work as a carpenter. Life continued for the next 2 years until the famous wise men from the east arrived. So, After they'd been to the temple in Jerusalem, they went back to Bethlehem, and they were there for about 2 years. Now to Matthew 2, verse number 7. Last week we talked about the wise men, and we pick it up now in verse number 7. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired them diligently what time the star appeared. So Herod now simply had the wise men there, and he told them, tell me, when did you see the star? How long ago? And we can tell that they must have told him about 2 years ago, because when Herod went down, sent his soldiers down to kill the babies or the boys, they were 2 years and down. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which is so in the east, went before them, till they came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. Now, what I want to do here is, I didn't get that here, but I wanted on the outline. But we had, when Moses came out of Egypt, they had a pillar of light in the night, the pillar of the cloud in the day. And that pillar of light, that cloud, was probably maybe about 200 feet above them. And for 40 years, when the pillar moved, the cloud in the day, the pillar of fire at night, Israel moved. They stopped when that stopped. So when the wise men were in Chaldea, in the east, they looked up into the heavens, and they saw a constellation where they saw a certain way that the stars were lined up. And there was some kind of a star they saw. And that had been prophesied. They had it written down. And they said, okay, it's written down. This is what we see. That means that the Messiah has been born. They set out on that journey. They didn't go right away. They arrived about 2 years after the birth of Jesus to Jerusalem to find out where is the Messiah. Because the star or the light simply went above them. It was not now a star in the sky. Now it was a light that they could see, they could follow. Why did God want that? Because God wanted to announce to the people of Israel, the Messiah has been born. And then they simply went down and they found him. Let's read here now from our text here. That God had knew before the foundation of the world that King Herod would try to kill Jesus, that he needed to be moved out of Judah, going to Egypt would require travel funds. This is where the wise men were used by God to provide the necessary funds in the form of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It is estimated the value of these gifts were around $4 million, and they were slowly depleted over the course of 3 years until it was safe for Jesus to return to Judea. And we read here already before here today, verse number 11. If you read this story as we laid it out from last week and this week we're doing now, you will find out that God used angels. This could not be done without divine intervention. So we have angels announcing to Zechariah that he's going to have John the Baptist. We had Gabriel came down to Mary. He spoke to Joseph. And we had a number of angels intervening, speaking to the wise men and so on. In Matthew 2:12, we find this out. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed to their own country another way. So they were told now, don't go back to Jerusalem. Go back to Chaldea, but go a different way. Jesus had an assigned number of angels, 72,000 angels. Turn to Matthew 26:52. That's Matthew chapter 26, and we pick it up from verse number 52. And we read this. Then said Jesus to him, put up again your sword into his place. For all that shall take to the sword shall perish with the sword. Think you not that I can, thinkest you that I cannot now pray to my Father? He shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels, which equals to 12,000. So, as we read the gospel, you find that Jesus got into jams from time to time. There was a crowd that tried to kill him, and they had pushed him up to a cliff. And then suddenly he just walked right through the crowd, and they didn't see him. So God simply had put together a force of 72,000 warrior angels. Their job was for 33 and a half years to make sure that Satan could not kill Jesus. He could not trip him up to protect him for 33 and a half years, to protect him from the high priest, the chiefs, the Pharisees, the Romans, robbers, thieves. He had 72,000 angels. But I want you to understand this. When the time came for Jesus to die on the cross, the 72,000 angels were told, stand down. This you cannot intervene in. This is when Jesus has to die. His physical body had to die. So this means that you and I have angels. And our angels have been given an assignment. They have our life, so to say, written out. They do not know our departure date, but they know what we're going to do. And their job is to make sure that you have the divine appointments you need, the supplies you need, doors open when they need to be open, doors closed when they need to be closed, and to keep the demons off your back for most of the time so that you will not get killed. It's fantastic to walk with God. We have the Holy Spirit. It's a power in us. And then we got angels around us that their job is to make sure that we do not get snuffed out before our time. In verse number 13, we read this. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be you there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt. Notice now he's not called a baby, a young child. Jesus now is about 2 years old. Think about this. To our knowledge, Joseph had never been in Egypt. He didn't know anyone in Egypt. An angel came in a dream and simply said, go to Egypt. I believe that as he and Mary and Jesus traveled to Egypt, he left immediately so that he did not know when Herod would come down. He simply said, I'm going to get out of here. He had 40.6 miles to the border, and then he went into Egypt himself. I believe that Joseph now, he had the funds. He was able to travel, stay in different places for 2 years, buy the food, pay for rent, and so on. And he simply, they were waiting to be able to go back. Joseph never doubted. Mary never doubted. They had Jesus with them. He was now going to be about 4 years old when they came back. And they simply knew this. God will take care of us. Let me read to you from the outline here. The Bible does not reveal where Joseph, Mary, and Jesus lived in Egypt. But the Egyptian legend has them living in different places along the River Nile, spending most of the 3 years in and around what is today called Cairo. Joseph could afford to give his family a nice place to stay, since he had been gifted the finances by the wise men. God did not tell Joseph how long he was to stay in Egypt. Joseph only knew that he could not return to Judah until after King Herod's death. Keep your fingers in Matthew here and turn back with me to Hosea, which is in the Old Testament. So we turn to Hosea after Ezekiel, Daniel. Hosea 11:1. We read the following. When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. So God had given the prophet Hosea a prophecy and said, the Messiah is going to be called out of Egypt. That did not make sense when Hosea received it. But it made sense when it did take place. Now, I titled this, All Hell Breaks Loose. Herod had served as a vassal king for about 30 years when the wise men arrived to Jerusalem. Herod had been around for some time. Herod was stupid. He was drunk on power. He was building things. He was a gambler. He liked women. He was in his late 60s. And he knew that he didn't have many years to live. But he failed to understand that he was a mortal man who couldn't control his lifespan on earth. Herod saw Jesus as a threat when he learned the king of the Jews had been born. When he realized that the wise men had stood him up, he became furious and ordered a detachment of his soldiers to Bethlehem and kill every male child 2 years and younger. Herod was merciless against this perceived threat to his position. And let's read from Matthew 2, verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked at the wise men, was exceeding wroth. I mean, this guy got into a rage. And he set forth, and he slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had inquired of the wise men. Today Herod is in hell. Today Herod is kicking himself from one end to the other, so to say, he's chained up in hell, and saying, why was I so stupid? I've been a king for 30 years, and I was just trying to hang on to my power. So I murdered a few thousand young boys in order to save my throne. And I only lived about 3 or 4 years after that, and now he went up in hell. People are evil. People are stupid. People are drunk on power, and they will do whatever they can to maintain control. If you read verses 17 and 18, in Ramadan's a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. Can you imagine you being a mother, and you just got your little 2-year-old boy, and suddenly your door is busted down, open up, and a couple of soldiers come in and simply say, give it up, boy. As a mother, you cling on to him and say, why should I give my boy? And the soldier would go and just knock you down. You roll on the floor. They take the boy up, take him right down the spot. You cut the throat and toss his dead body on the floor. That's what happened in Bethlehem. There's a lot of mothers that were weeping at that time. Go to the last page on our outline right now. King Herod lived another 2 years after the slaughter, and then he died and went to hell. So let's read verses 19 here down to 23. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. Again an angel, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, go to the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside to the parts of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that he might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the prophets, he should be called a Nazarene. So we're talking now about the first 4 years of the life of Jesus on this earth. And that was spent in Bethlehem, Jerusalem, back to Bethlehem, down to Egypt, and at the age of 4, a little bit over 4 years old, he's taken now to Nazareth, Galilee, where he's going to be raised by his stepfather Joseph and his mother Mary. What can we take away from if we put together Luke now and Matthew on these 4 years? Here is what I want you to take away. Before the foundation of the world, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit laid out how this is going to be done. They knew all the actors. They had designed, every human being is designed in advance. They knew who was going to be there. They knew that this was going to be under the Roman Empire. And to God, it didn't matter if you had a lousy guy, an evil guy like Herod, or you got an emperor, Augustus, in Rome. God simply said, this is the time. It's a hostile time. Makes no difference to me. My angels will work it. We're going to take the devil. We're going to knock the tar of him. We're going to keep the demons down. We're going to knock the fallen angels off. And we are going to ramrod our program through. And God did. God is ramrodding his project through. The next event, the rise of the Antichrist. How fast are we going to get there? It depends upon the church. But it's going to come down to the time. Now, I preached a whole series on the tribulation. There's no rapture. We're not going to be taken out. But we're going to live in the supernatural. So notice, you are not an accident. You're protected by God's holy angels. He selected you to be born again, to be saved. And God will take care of you, regardless of circumstances. And when we get into the tribulation time, some of us will be killed, but many of us will survive, and we will thrive. So I really want to encourage you to go through the outline again. Get away from the stupid stuff you heard in church about the three wise men, that they came at the same time the shepherds came, and they all got together in Bethlehem in the stable. Two different events, 2 years apart. If you understand that, it gives you an understanding how God protected Jesus, Joseph, and Mary, and fulfilled prophecy. So you watch me today, and you might be saying this, I'm not really saved. And I say this every Sunday, because there will always be someone tuning in, by chance, by accident, but it's by chance, divine appointment, I would say, and you listen to this, and you said, you know, I'm not a Christian. I would like to become a Christian. Well, the good news is you can become a Christian today, right now. What do you have to do? Simply say this. God, I'm a sinner. I have sinned. I'm a bad person. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross. I believe he's the Son of God. I believe he died for my sins, rose on the third day. And through his death and resurrection, I can be saved. Jesus, come into my life. Come into my life and save me. And Jesus will. When we finish with a prayer here, the screen will change where you're at. There'll be a screen with three crosses coming up. And you will hear the voice of Pastor Charles Terrell saying, my friend. And he will spend a few minutes with you, talk to you about salvation, pray with you, read some scriptures, and you can solidify today that you are saved. If you do that, when you do that, will you contact us and simply say, hey, I watched the webcast, I got saved, I want to know more. And we would love to pray with you, talk with you, send you some material to get you going in Jesus' name. And to those of you that are saved, why don't you just think for a moment and say, I'm going to reread this sermon out loud. I'm going to read Matthew and Luke again and get this straight how it's done. And then begin to thank God that you have holy angels that have protected you since you were conceived and will protect you to the day you go home. And the last thing they will do is to take you out of the body and bring you to heaven. Isn't that great? So start rejoicing. Here's Pastor Charles.
Father God, the message that we heard here today was of your exploits, your divine intervention, your foresight down through the ages, the star gospel that you delivered, the advanced planning, the angelic intervention that you have that's here on this earth. There is so much evidence for you, and yet there will still be people who will say, that's chance. That could have just happened. That those things just happened to line up. So, Father God, we know that there is no such thing as chance here on this earth. There is nothing that you do not control. There is nothing that you do not have your hand over. And so, when it comes to the Messiah being born here on this earth into a hostile environment, that was not a problem for you. You took care of it. And so, Father God, help us to have this realization that when we live our lives out on a daily basis, doesn't matter what time frame that we exist in, there will always be hostilities. And help us, Father God, to be focused on you, to know that you are in charge, you are guiding us, that you are being there with us every step of the way, doesn't matter how grim the situation is. And we just thank you that the prayer that Jesus taught us, that your will be done on this earth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you'll die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with You
In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the fifth part in the series, The Gospel of Matthew, and was entitled, Jesus' Time in Egypt. Joseph was a successful contractor and most likely built homes. After the birth of Jesus, he rented a house in Bethlehem for Mary's purification. Then they traveled to Jerusalem to dedicate Jesus at the temple. God set up a divine appointment with Simeon and Anna, who each thanked the Lord for allowing them to see the Messiah. Life continued in Bethlehem for 2 years until the famous wise men from the east arrived with gifts fit for a king. Afterwards, an angel spoke separately to Joseph and the wise men. The wise men were told to shun Herod, and Joseph was instructed to take his family to Egypt. With the gold, frankincense, and myrrh from the wise men, Joseph had the means to flee to a foreign land and take care of his family. God's redemption plan worked because the intervention of holy angels. All the events on earth were choreographed in heaven to make sure each messianic prophecy was fulfilled and Jesus was protected at the same time. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1781. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.